Well, good to see you this morning, and that was a good little blurb there. And of course, we didn't put anything up about the Lottie Moon offering this morning, but our goal is $3,000, and I think we've got $1,700 so far. And that, of course, is a very good international missions goal for us as Southern Baptists. And so I would encourage you to pray about that, and the Lord leads you to give to that. I'm going to talk about Lottie just a second this morning, even in the sermon. But I do have Verlish called me this morning, and Otis died this morning about 1:30. And so she, of course, is struggling mightily with that and her family. But we just need to continue to remember them in prayer. I don't know when the funeral might be or where it might be or anything like that. She asked me what I might recommend. I always feel a little odd about that, you know, but I do know a couple of the guys that used to work for D.L. McCombs, and now they're at Fairhaven over here on Clinton. And so I suggested that she could call them if she wanted to. So anyway, let's continue to remember that family. I know that they were really struggling as to what to do with Otis being on the respirator. They did not have to take him off the respirator. He just died of natural causes, I guess you might say, this morning about 1:30. And so we're looking to have some kind of celebration with them and their family not too distant future, probably next week sometime. So keep an eye out on that, okay? All right, any other announcements that I should make and I forgot to make? Look on the back. The prayer list is long, but it is updated and those kind of things. And so appreciate Rhonda's work, and good to have her back from her little soiree over to, Jamaica?
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. That's kind of close, isn't it? It's not West Virginia, so it's not almost heaven. But evidently, did you have some good weather there?
Yeah.
Good. And had a good time. Good. Well, good to have you back, Rhonda. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and bow our heads and open with prayer. Father God, we do thank you for the day you've given us, the opportunities to serve you. Lord, we do ask you to continue to extend your mercy unto Verlish and the family. Lord, I know that this has been quite an ordeal for them. I didn't really realize. I knew it had been a while. But Otis has been on the ventilator since December 1st. But now he's with you in glory. He's completely healed, and so, Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us and with us, but I pray you be with that family and just comfort them, help them to turn their sorrow into praise, and be with us as we're their church family, that, Lord, we too might be standing by, have some help and strength for them as only you can give. But we pray, Father, you'll use us in this ministry. Be with us now as we're here this morning. We've come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to do so. For we ask these things in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's all stand and lift our voices in praise to the Lord this morning.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day.
faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou chastenest not Thy compassion, painful not, as Thou hast been forever with me. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. For I am needed, I am not provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and star in their courses above. Join with our nature in that open hills. Through Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, I am provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and divine. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, I have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need Thy tender care. In Thy present pasture feed us, for our use Thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, guide us, guard us, guide we are. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast brought us Thy. We are Thy new, Thou befriend us, be the guardian of Thy way. Keep Thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, You're near us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, You're near us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, only let us turn to Thee.
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, only let us run to Thee. Only let us seek Thy favor. Only let us do Thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with Thy love I bring us here. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us dear. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us dear.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, gentlemen. If you have your Bible, turn over to Ephesians this morning. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. But we won't read that for just a few minutes. We'll get to it in just a little while, so keep that open if you're there. Matter of fact, do you have your Bible with you? Okay, good. All right. Let me open with a word of prayer. Father, again, we ask you to be with us as we're here today. We ask that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us. We would ask, Father, that you would grace us with your presence here today. Wherever two or three are gathered together in your midst, there you are. We thank you for that great promise. We ask you to continue to be with Otis's family. Lord, I know that even though it's been a long, protracted illness, a battle with this COVID-19, that, Lord, they're still struggling. And I pray, Father, you'll be with them in these next few days especially. Be with those that are out of town that might not have been able to have seen Otis recently. And that will be, of course, a great heartache to those. And I pray, Father, you'll comfort them. Be with us now as we open your word. Speak to us from it. Help us to glean from that encouragement, strength, hope, love, and victory. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever heard of a good riddance day? Anybody? Good riddance day. I was thinking about this, of course, because it's the new year, and 2020 is gone, and I thought, good riddance, you know. But I don't know why. I looked it up on the internet, and there's actually a Good Riddance Day celebration. We missed it, though. It was December 28th. It takes place in Times Square. I didn't know that. And the organizers encourage people to come to write their grievances down on a piece of paper, and then they take those papers, fold them up, and they throw them into a shredder. That symbolically, it's saying that that's the act of letting those painful memories, those foolish mistakes, boy, we make some of those, dumb choices, and long-held grudges, and do away with them. So kind of out with the old, in with the new. Good Riddance Day. You know, every day in the Lord is Good Riddance Day. Did you know that? Yeah. Over in 1 John, John tells us if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In order to really rid ourselves of those foolish mistakes, those unwise words, dumb choices, sin, we need to come to the Lord. We need to confess those things. And if we confess those things, we can be assured because God has promised that he is faithful and he will forgive us and he will restore us in right relationship to him. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We bring our petitions to the Lord. We number those things. We talk about them to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we don't get it all. But the Lord knows all. And so when we ask him for forgiveness, he gives us forgiveness. Not only does he do that, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we have a fresh new hand dealt to us. We must be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must learn to be forgivers. And I think that that's maybe a little bit harder even than the first thing, although it's very difficult for most people to even ask for forgiveness. But we are not only to ask forgiveness for ourselves, but we are to be forgivers because we are now in the household and the family of God, and we are the people of God, and we're the good news people, and we're people who practice forgiveness to others. I remember years and years ago, Brother Don Hamm was preaching, and one of the girls that we had coming to church at that particular time, and I don't know what it was because I was actually there. Brother Don was standing by the door, and I was standing a couple paces by, and she came over to Brother Don, and Brother Don, of course, was going to, you know, shake her hand and say, you know, good to see you this morning, something like that, and she said, I'm not going to do it. What? She said, I'm not going to forgive that guy. You don't know what kind of terrible stuff he's done to me. And Don started to say something. She said, no, no, I'm not going to do it. You can't make me forgive him. And I thought, well, I didn't think Don was trying to make you forgive him. He was just pointing out the necessity of that. You know what was happening there? There was a root of bitterness that had took root in her life, and she was bitter. And she took out her bitterness against Brother Don for preaching on being forgiven and being a forgiver. It's amazing, isn't it? We need to learn to be forgivers, and until we do, we can never really move forward. We're always stuck in time right there. No matter what the calendar says, that's where we're at. This calendar year of 2020 is over. Let's let it go. Let's let it go. I think good riddance to it is a socially remarkable way to say, go on. Go away, go away. I'm thinking, though, that many of the things that happened during 2020 are not going to go away just because we turned a page on the calendar. Many people are chained to the fear of what COVID-19 has done to them in 2020. And maybe we should make 2020 a year of riddance, good riddance, say farewell. Don't be disappointed. Don't be angry. Don't be critical. And ask the gracious Heavenly Father that we have to grant us a fresh infusion of His grace and His mercy in all our relationships. You know, Ronnie England is a good friend of mine, and he's always said that he was an optimistic pessimist. And I never could get him to exactly define what that meant. But over in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about this. In verse 15, he says, "See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." As is often the case, the scripture has packed in some little jewel in the midst of a verse that we may not quite see or understand the first time we read it. We may not see it the second time, but it is a very important concept. Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to hear what God is saying to us because we do indeed live in difficult times. We do indeed live in a day that evil is predominant. This worldwide global pandemic has taken the lives of many people, millions. It's cost us economy untold millions of dollars. More than that, it's cost people jobs, hasn't it? Their businesses have been shut down, sometimes very arbitrarily and capriciously. And so they have been robbed of their livelihood, They're uncertain about the future. And perhaps the most devastating thing is their hope for tomorrow has diminished because they're uncertain. You know, fear brings division, and division brings defeat. And there's no vaccine that man can make that can cure the depression of the soul. Did you know that? And it won't happen. I remember after 9/11, a writer wrote these things. He said, things look like they have no chance to be made right again. Well, on top of all this, people have lost their jobs, their hope, and I think we've lost a great deal of confidence in our government. We're not sure if these people are really even a modicum of neutrality with the idea of doing something good for the whole nation. I don't know if they're lying or not half the time. Am I the only one that sometimes just goes, man, what are these people talking about? Are they lying? Are they telling the truth? What are they doing? I don't know. Is it self-interest? Is it politics? What is it? I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the future holds, of course, but our text this morning gives us three great things. Three great things. So you can be happy and thankful that you're saying, Pastor, are you going to have a sermon with 3 points? Yeah. Yeah, mark it down because it'll probably be the last one for a long time. You know, Greg Taylor's mother cornered me out in the hallway one day, and she said, Pastor, do you know how long you usually preach? I said, well, Lois Jean, I don't know exactly. She said, 42 minutes. Oh. Then she asked me, she was a child psychologist. She asked me, she said, you know how long people's attention spans are? And I thought, well, I don't know, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. She said, 20 minutes. So she then smiled and walked away. I think she was telling me something, don't you? I think she was telling me, you're preaching way too long. Your audience is over with in about 20 minutes, and here you're droning on and on and on and on and on. So this morning, don't mark it down because we might actually have a short sermon this morning. I don't know. But it was really kind of funny because it was about 3 weeks or so, and there was Lois Jean again at the door, and she pulled me off to the side. She said, Pastor, you know, when I asked you how long you preached and how long the attention span was and those kind of things, I said, yes, ma'am, I remember that. She said, forget it. You just preach what God puts on your heart. Okay, all right. So whether it's short or long doesn't make any difference if indeed we're looking at the Word. Let's do that together. The first thing that Paul tells us here is, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's a pretty good bit of advice, isn't it? Circumspectly. Care is the idea of walking on a narrow path along the side of a steep mountain. You have to do so carefully. Carefully. Over in Psalms 46, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. We're always just running around, aren't we? Just, you know, we just got to be busy, 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 or we're just not doing, doing, doing. Well, sometimes it's good for us to be still and know that He is God. When we slow down enough to get God involved, sometimes we discover that God has other plans and that what God wants to do through us is more than we could ever accomplish in our own strength anyway. So let's slow down. I thought about this because of the foreign emphasis, the international mission emphasis. Their $3,000 are our goal this year. And the mission offering is named something, Lottie Moon. That was a lady. She was a missionary that we had. And her name was really Charlotte Diggs Moon. And she went to China to be a missionary. One of our first missionaries in China, 1872 or so, she got there. And when she got there, she found out that things were hard in China. Things are hard all over. Even the birds are walking. Do we have that picture or two of Lottie? Okay, here she is. Get the other one? Nice looking gal, isn't she? Yeah, yeah. Well, I had a book that had a picture of Lottie Moon when she was in China. She dressed as Chinese people dress. She wasn't very tall, and so she dressed as the Chinese did. And for some reason, it was years and years ago, we were on the other side of the building, and I had the book, and I raised it up and or something like that, and I talked about Lottie Moon and the Christmas offering and all that kind of stuff, international foreign missions, and it was very important. It's a good offering and all that. 100% of the offering goes there. Nothing is taken out for administrative purposes or anything else, and all those kind of things. Then I just went way too far. I went a bridge too far. I had the book, and I opened the book, and I said, this is what Lottie Moon looked like when she was on the field. And then I said, she could stop a clock. Well, there was a young lady that was visiting that night, and she came up after the little service, and she said, Pastor, what are you talking about? She could stop a clock. I said, well, did you see that picture? She said, I can't believe a man of God would say something so derogatory about a female. And I thought, oh boy, neither can I. I just thought that, you know, it was tough sledding. It was tough for her. I understand that Lottie Moon, for example, she wore the traditional Chinese clothing, and the first thing she did when she got up in the morning, when she started to get dressed, was she took newspapers and wrapped them around herself because it was so cold that she didn't have any adequate clothing that would protect her from the cold. And so when she peered out through that little funny little thing she had on her head, she was probably cold. So she didn't have a big smile on her face, you know, waving to people at home. She was working on the field. And, of course, one of the things that Lottie Moon was known for was writing home letters about the work in China and writing home and telling the Foreign Mission Board at that time the needs that were in China. And we were kind of reluctant, I think, maybe, to support missions the way we do today. And so those letters prompted help coming, help coming, help coming. But Lottie didn't use the help, the increased revenue for herself. She used it in her ministry to the Chinese people. Matter of fact, one of the pet names that the Chinese people had for Lottie Moon was the Cookie Lady. And you can look, if you want to, you can go to the website, you can look it up. And there's a recipe she had for cookies. They're very, very plain cookies. They weren't, you know, double chocolate chip, something, other, whatevers. They're very, very plain cookies. But listen, if you didn't get cookies, you know, we're just spoiled, aren't we? We want double chocolate cream pies or something. I want German chocolate cake, but I don't want it out of a box. I want my wife to make it. You know, I want that icing to just be dripping off there. And I want it. We're spoiled. The little Chinese kids, those little tiny cookies, they were plain as plain could be, but they were better than they ever had before. And so she used that kind of method to connect with the people. And she connected with the children first, and then the women, and then the men. Matter of fact, she served for almost 40 years in China, never coming home once. And of course, you know that when she did come home, she actually died of starvation in Japan on the way home. She literally starved herself to death working with the Chinese people. Now, you think to yourself, wow, what a sacrifice. Maybe what a waste. But listen, great revivals sprung up in China for the work of that lady, Lottie Moon, whose face could stop a clock. Listen, We need to recognize that we can do far more than we ever can even conceive or even think about if we're willing to stop, be still, and know that I am God. Point one, you say, well, that's one down, two more to go. Number two is redeeming the time because the days are evil. Because of our working knowledge of the New Testament, we immediately link that word redeeming, and rightfully so, which comes from the word redeem, to salvation. So Paul says redeeming the time. We begin to think about salvation. To redeem comes from an everyday word in Koine Greek that was used in the marketplace to buy back something, to redeem something, to purchase it again, to buy something back for your own use. So we're supposed to redeem the time. So what is Paul telling us to do? He's saying, buy the time back. Bring it back to you for your use. Paul, remember, wrote these words while being chained to a guard, to a Roman guards. Nero was the emperor. He was a wicked, perverted man. He would set Rome on fire. He would blame it on the Christians. Later, he would order the Apostle Paul to be put to death. But Paul is writing to the city of Ephesus, a city located on the seaport, a city that was prosperous. We might say it was a booming place. It was a good place to live, make money. And of course, they had the temple of Artemis there, or the temple of Diane, Greek or Roman, whichever. So it was a city, hustling, bustling, but it was a city wholly given over to paganism. Of every debauchery you could think about, every heathen thing, every sexual sin, every sexual perversion you could think about, that was what Ephesus was doing. But this perversion, in Paul's heart and mind, did not discourage him or dissuade him from what he was supposed to do in Christ. He saw this as God's opportunity to bring the liberating gospel to those people who were trapped and chained and in bondage to sin. Well, that's a different kind of mindset, isn't it? I remember reading a story years and years ago about two guys that were sent from America to go to Africa someplace, and they were shoe salesmen. And the guys got to Africa, and they're looking around, and one of them dashed off a note back to the home office. Need a ticket back home. He said, this place is horrible. He said, nobody wears shoes here. The other guy dashed off a message back to his home. Send me as many shoes as you possibly can. Look, hardly anybody's wearing shoes here. So it is how we look at things, isn't it? We can look at it as a discouraging. We can look at it as pessimistic, but if we look at it through the eyes of God, there's an opportunity there. And so Paul was saying, we have a great opportunity in this city of Ephesus, in this capital perversion, to penetrate the darkness with the gospel of Christ. And that's what he went about doing. These things may be difficult, most assuredly, but you know, in difficult times, then the Spirit of God in us shines through brighter. Did you know that? Historically, hard times have always been a time for the people of God to get their feet back on the ground. Did you know that? It seems like prosperity is our biggest enemy. Did you know that? When we've got everything we need and we're cruising along and doing all the things we want to do, taking our vacation to Jamaica or something like that, or whatever it is, we're not too concerned about what God is doing. But when times get hard, then our focus and our minds begin to come back to the real important things of God. It's not really important what kind of car you drive. It's not really important what kind of house you live. It's not really important all these kind of things. These are just things. The important things are what's happening that is eternal in other people's lives. Historically, hard times have been a blessing in disguise to those who will take the bull by the horns and reach out to those all around them who are living in darkness, because their light is even brighter in that kind of situation. I think that this is kind of where we're at. We as the people of God have got to have a different note sounded than, oh my gosh, oh my my, oh my gosh. You know, on and on and on it goes. Griping and complaining. We have to have a different note. We can't fall into the rut of being pessimistic about the situation that God has us in, because that means we're not faithing the way God would have us to faith. These are opportunities for us to reach out. Okay, number three. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, I heard years and years ago a guy whose name was David Wilkinson. He was a very famous evangelist in New York. He had come from a gang situation. I think he wrote a book called The Cross and the Switchblade or something like that. It became a national bestseller or something like that. But I just heard him talking on the radio one time, and he said, these are uncertain days. I think these are uncertain days. He said these were frightening days. Oh, my. It's frightening. And there are those that you know and you love that they're paralyzed by this frightening day that we live in. But then he said, which that's what caught my mind, he says, these are exciting days. I thought it was uncertain days. I thought it was frightening days. I was agreeing 100% to that. No, he said, these are exciting days. He said, these are amazing days. Great days to be alive, because these are days in which we can proclaim Christ, and the message is clear. Our message is not the world's message. It is totally different, and these days are our opportunity to engage those around us and bring them the message of hope in Christ Jesus. It's in times like these, it's helpful to recall that there have always been times like these. Jesus said over in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. No matter what happens today, the promises of God will still be true tomorrow. Deuteronomy 3:16 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise that we have today, even as the Lord God gave that to Israel. I'd invite you to go back to 2 Kings this morning, later on this day, and read 2 Kings chapter 6. Read the whole thing, but verses 1 through 16. You'll find out that in that particular situation and the scenario that they were in, the Syrians were about to conquer Israel. The Syrians had encompassed the city, and the king of Israel was terrified. He was pressed on all sides by this mighty army. A great host, verse 14 said. But that was during the day of Elisha, remember? And Elisha's servant asked him down there in verse 16, he said, alas, my master, how shall we do? There's lots of people asking that question then. How shall we do? What's going to happen to us? You know, with the election, with the COVID-19, with all these things happening all around, how shall we do? And then in verse 16, Elisha says to his servant, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now you're starting to remember, huh? Oh yeah, I remember that now. And in verse 17, Elisha then prayed a very strange prayer. He said, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant so that he might be able to see." I would pray that God would open our eyes to the opportunities. And the mission that we have is even greater today than it was last year. And so Elijah prayed that God would open his servant's eyes. In verse 17, he said, he saw, the servant looked, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Isn't that something? With the physical human eye, everything was bleak. The Syrians were there, great numbers, compassed about the whole city, were about to lay waste to that northern kingdom, probably kill that king of Israel in the north, take away their people in captivity. And Elisha said, hey, let's not worry about this thing. God's got it. And his servant said, what are you talking about? And so he prayed that his servant could see. Oh, that we might see what God has for us. It's difficult, isn't it? We have to have our eyes open supernaturally to see that on the mountainsides all around us, there are full of horses and chariots of fire. Always like that, and chariots of fire. So let's go into this new year, 2021, with those kind of ideas and those kind of scriptures in our hearts. Paul says over in Romans 8 and 31, he said what? If God be for us, what's the last part? Who can be against us? I don't know about you. That's a promise unbelievable. If God is for us, nobody can stand before us. If God is for us, he has supplied us with all we need. All we need to do is appropriate it by faith, bring it in, not be pessimistic, not be defeated, but be facing people looking at this new year. The COVID-19 thing is not over with. They're telling us, you know, maybe June before people get their shots and all this kind of stuff. All this stuff we're supposed to think is really marvelous and wonderful. All that stuff is delayed, delayed, delayed. Listen, don't care. If God be for us, who can be against us? And in times like these is when the people of God can shine forth the brightness and the beauty and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives day by day. We thank you, Lord, that even in our frailty, even like Elisha's servant, sometimes we just say, oh, this is terrible. What's going to happen? It's going to be disaster. But you ask us not to see with the physical eye, but with the eye of faith. Much harder, but much greater the glory of that sight. So, Father, as we move into this new year, I thank you for all those that are here today. I ask you to bless us. Help us to stand together. Put aside the differences that we might have. Lay aside the fears that we harbor in our hearts. Stand for you and stand together. Looking for, anticipating with faith in Christ Jesus, who is Lord of Lords, the great things that you have in store for us, that we might minister in your name this year in a new, vital way. Because hearts and minds need to be touched. Lives need to be changed. Lord, we're looking for all the answers in the wrong places. when the answers are in you. Help us to seek your face. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation this morning. And, of course, this altar is open. If you need to make something public this morning, you feel free to come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. What's our song of invitation? Let's stand together and sing.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look for in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you very much. Yes, we're early. So you come by with your ticket, and I'll punch it for you. And, sometime in the future, you can wave it, and that'll be your get-out-of-jail-free car for that day. No, really, thank you for being here this morning. I hope the Lord spoke to your heart. Let's close together in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunities you give to us. Help us to see them, to reach out, Lord. Minister, just a word of kindness, just a kind gesture, just a plain little cookie can make so much difference in some people's lives. If we're standing for you, magnifying Jesus, that's what we're supposed to be about. Whether it's good times or not so good. Whether we're feeling confident or feeling like we're being beat to pieces. The victory is always in Jesus. Be with us now. As we go from this place, we're going to walk out in this parking lot, we're going to go out to this St. Joe Center Road, and we're going to go all over this community. Help us to take that optimistic look of eyes of faith with us this morning. For these things I ask in the wonderful name of Jesus, amen and amen.